This is the Rental Income Podcast, where we talk to owners of rental properties and give you actionable tips and advice that will help you make more money while dealing with less hassle. And now your host, Dan Lane.
I put together a list of seven things I wish I knew earlier about renting properties, and you can download your free copy. Just go to my website, freelandlordgift.com. All right, on the show today, we have Chris Colgan. And Chris got started in owning rental properties the way that a lot of investors have started. He bought a primary house to live in it, and then when he was ready to move up, he turned his old house into a rental. This is just a really great way to get started, I think. So I want to talk to Chris more about what he did and also hear about his second property, because the way that he got that was kind of unique. So let's get started. Chris, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got here?
Yeah, so I've been in real estate for about 11 years, primarily in sales. And I've always wanted to own properties. So one was my first house, and the other one I kind of stumbled across into, which I'll get in more. But yeah, I've been in real estate for almost 12 years in the sales side mostly.
And what I think is really inspiring about you is that you started both in real estate and investing in real estate really young. How old were you when you got your real estate license? How old were you? And then how old were you when you bought your first house?
Yes, I was 21 when I got my real estate license. And then I was about 25 when I got my first house. And that was one of the things I always, well, actually in the beginning, I didn't really think, I was like, oh, I want to own a house. But after, you know, seeing that there's people buying houses and learning about the process, they're reading books and whatnot, I was like, I got to get a house. So I kind of went out and set a goal to find a property.
And so that first property you found, you didn't buy it saying, this is a house I'm going to buy to rent out. You bought it to live in it.
Right? Yeah, exactly. I think that's a mistake some people make, is they go out and say, hey, I'm going to buy a investment property before they ever own a house. I think the first thing you should do is go out and buy a house of your own and live there, kind of learn about the property. And then maybe if you can move out of that house, buy another house and keep the house you bought as an investment property. And that's kind of what I did. I bought the house, lived there, and then moved out, but I decided to keep the house.
And that's really smart. A lot of people would have just, you know, sold it and said, I'm going to cash out, I'm going to move on. But in your case, the market was down. So you bought the house and then the market kind of collapsed. Like, so were you underwater when you moved out of that first house?
You know, no, I bought it and I paid $210, and then I remember at one point it was worth up to $300, and I was thinking, man, this is awesome.
Yeah. Like, $300 in how long?
Like 2 years. I remember thinking, this is awesome. You know, I love real estate. And then I slowly watched it trickle down. But one of the reasons I bought, when I moved out, I found a good deal on a foreclosure that I still live in today. But one of the reasons that I bought that house is it's right next to a hospital. And I kind of feel, you know, health is going to be one of those things that we're always going to need.
Sure.
And a lot of nurses, doctors, stuff like that, they like to just walk to work.
Right.
So that was kind of another reason why I was always going to keep the property.
All right. So you're in the first property. You decide it's time to move up to a better place. So you found a foreclosure to buy for your second place. So the second house became your primary house and your first place became your rental then?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I moved out, and then once the property was the house I was living in, my first house was vacant, I got it rented, and I had one renter that was in there for about a year, and I've had another couple that's been there for 5 years.
So then you have another property too. So like how did that come about, your second rental?
Yeah, it's kind of funny when you're in real estate. You know, the thing that a lot of people don't realize is once you're in real estate and you get out there that you're involved in real estate, you kind of stumble across things. And a family member had came to me and said, "Hey, you know, I don't want this house anymore. I'm retiring. I'm just going to let it get foreclosed on." And I said, well, you know what, just, you know, being care, you know, just kind of as a family member, I said, that's kind of a dumb idea. Like, why just let's try to sell it? Well, they were underwater. So I said, why don't you just keep it in your name? You know, give me a power of attorney and I'll take care of the property and rent it out. And if we ever go to sell it, hey, I'll just keep the money. mm-hmm. or, you know, and it'll kind of just become my headache now.
Right.
So,
right.
of course, they were like, that's awesome. You know, I don't have to worry about
right.
this property getting foreclosed on. You'll take care of it. You know, so I've rented out that property now. And the beautiful
awesome.
Thing is it's not in my name, you know.
If the property goes up in value, the agreement you have with the people is that you get to keep whatever appreciation there is, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, of course, you don't want to, if you're going to do something like this, consult an attorney first.
Yeah,
but
of course.
Yeah, what I would say is, yeah, I mean, the deal that I had with this person was if it goes up or down, it's my problem. And they kind of just wanted to wash their hands of it. So, I mean, there's a lot of people out there, you know, that happens to them.
Right.
Some of the best deals aren't even listed in the multiple listing
sure,
service.
Sure. Well, what a great way to control property. And so you didn't have to put any money into the deal. You didn't have to do anything.
No, yeah. Well, I instantly found a renter, but one of the issues now, of course, the property, the renter moved out. I got the house painted. Now it's my headache,
right?
Because
right.
now I've, you know, it's been empty for about a month, so it's something that I'm taking care of now.
One of your places is a condo, right?
You are, actually both of them are a condo.
Okay. Now on episode 7. We spoke to Skip and Mary Saylor, and mm-hmm. they've been investing for 40 years. And one of the things that they said is that they do not like to buy condos because the condo fee you can't control and it can just go up. Is that ever a fear of yours, having the condo fee?
Yeah, it sounds like very smart people you're talking about here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Dan, here's the issue, and every state's different, but you know, say your renter, you're ultimately responsible, even though you're renting it, you're ultimately responsible for what the renter does. So, you know, the renter parks in a, you know, renter parks without a parking pass, the renter doesn't leave their trash out, you're going to be the one that's going to be hearing about it. So, you know, I've had renters' cars get towed because they didn't have a parking pass. They had a friend over. So I would, you know, I would say condos can be great because the fact that you're not responsible for the outside of the property, the outside of the maintenance, but the issue is you have some expensive condo fees.
Right.
Now, the other hand, condos typically are the easiest properties to rent out, but yeah, they are kind of a pain in the neck.
So do you have a property manager or do you manage the properties yourself?
No, I manage them myself. I mean, I have enough, I only have two, so it's not like a huge, endeavor to manage them both. But yeah, I currently manage them myself right now.
Is it ever a pain? Are you ever like, you know, you're Friday night, you're heading out and you got a tenant calling you?
You know, I get asked that all the time. You know, not really. My biggest fear, I would say, you know, besides someone getting injured, would be if an HVAC unit went out.
Right.
And I've had stuff like that come out. And of course, you know, as we know, if you're sitting in your house and the AC stops and it's 90 degrees out, you're going to freak out pretty
sure.
quick. Same
sure.
with the renter. So, yeah, I have had people, I've had that call before. And it's never been at, you know, 4 a.m. when I'm sleeping, but I have had that call. And then, you know, usually I take care of it right away if there is an issue. But typically, no, that is one of the good things about a condo, too, is a little bit less maintenance compared to a house.
Right, right. Okay. And how do you find tenants? Like, what are you doing to market your properties?
You know, it's kind of funny. A lot of my clients ask me, you know, hey, Chris, can you list my rental in the multiple listing service, which is the MLS, if you don't know what that is. But I tell people, you know, a lot of times Craigslist is good. You know, the military website, stuff like that is where I usually look to.
Okay.
Or a lot of times word of mouth. A lot of people know somebody looking for a place to rent.
And then so when you find someone that's interested in renting, how do you screen them to make sure they're going to be a good tenant?
Yeah, I'll tell you, one of the big keys is, and you got to look into the laws of this because there's certain privacy things that
right.
you have to watch out
and
for.
And they all vary state by state,
exactly.
so you want to check
yeah.
that out.
Yeah, basically
in your state.
The big thing is you want to check their credit, see if you know they have any bad credit issues. And you are going to have some people that maybe had a short sale, stuff like that. But one of the things I look for is, you know, have they, if they're not paying their electric bill on time, are they going to pay the rent on time? You know, typically that's the first thing someone's going to pay for.
Right.
Yes, that's typically what I look for. And then if they do have bad credit, one of the things I request is a recommendation letter from a landlord. I just ran into somebody that wanted to rent one of my properties the other day. They didn't have the greatest credit. And I said, hey, look, I'm willing to work with you. Go ahead and get me a recommendation from your last landlord saying that you paid on time. And of course, they disappeared.
Right.
So if I wouldn't have asked that question, you know, I probably would have rented it to them and never got rent on time.
So are there anything special that you do when someone moves out to fix the place up? Like, are you always are you constantly painting or?
You know, yeah. So you're pretty much, I would tell people to budget for, you're pretty much going to have to get the property repainted or at least some rooms repainted. Everyone likes to hang, you know, pictures on the wall. They leave holes in the wall. And then, you know, also, one thing that I've seen people get burned on is people lose keys. Mm-hmm. They lose the parking passes to the condo association or townhouse. All of a sudden, you're paying a condo association $50 for a new parking pass.
Right.
So there's a lot of little things like that that you have to do. I would recommend at least checking on the property every quarter and just making sure they're not tearing up the property big time.
So you actually go in every quarter?
Yeah, I usually try to go in about twice a year. I mean, since I don't have a lot of properties, one of the advantages, I kind of develop relationships with my renters.
Sure.
So yeah. I'm able to talk to them, and if they have an issue, they tell me. And then, or, you know, if I get an HVAC serviced or something like that, I'll find out to the HVAC guy or whatever how the property's.
So, all right. So what's your plan? Like, do you want to have more rental properties or are you happy at two?
You know what? I'll tell you, my plan is now, I really would like to do more flipping and stuff like that. And then any profit I made, own a rental property. I know there's a lot of people out there teaching, oh, you know, go out and borrow a bunch of money and buy rental properties. But the thing you have to realize is, the day that one of those people moves out, the bank doesn't give a crap if you're not renting it anymore. You're the one that signed the bottom line that you're going to pay the payment on time. So I would be very careful going out and getting a bunch of debt and buying a bunch of properties unless you have the money in the bank in case the renter did move out.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
So that's kind of my, I always love real estate. I always love, I think owning a property, you know, is a great way. And I kind of like the fact that, you can see it, you know, when I put money into an Exxon or something like that, I can't see that.
Right.
You know what I mean? I can drive by my property or go inside of it and see what my money's doing. But if I own stock,
yeah,
you know, I don't think Exxon's going to let me walk in and take it.
There's definitely a certain comfort that, you know, real estate, it's real. I mean, you can touch it. You can feel it. It's never going to not be there.
Yeah. People are always going to need a place to live, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we have to have a place to live. There's got to be a property, you know, that people need housing. So, and from what I see, the population is going to continually go up for the next several years. And I think in more of the areas, like certainly in DC, there's just not land, you know, there's going to be, you know, people are always going to need a place to live.
All right, well, let's do the lightning round. Are you ready for this?
Sweet.
All right.
Now, the Rental Income Podcast lightning round. 5 rapid-fire questions and answers in 60 seconds.
All right, question number one. What's your favorite real estate book?
I'll tell you, I really like Gary Keller's Millionaire Real Estate Investor. And then a go-to, obviously everyone always knows, is Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Okay.
It's a great book.
Yep, okay. Question number two, the number one fear that I hear from people all the time on why they don't want to own a rental property is they don't want to get a call at 3 a.m. that a toilet's clogged. As a landlord, have you ever gotten this call?
Nope, I've never gotten that call before.
Okay. Number three, if you had a property that was sitting vacant for 6 months, you had a potential renter apply that had horrible credit, a spotty work history, and a spotty rental history, would you take a chance and rent to them or let the property sit?
I'd let the property sit.
Okay. And number four, if you could give one piece of advice to a new landlord, what would it be?
It would be to get a home inspection on the property you're buying. And it would probably be, if you don't have, I'll tell you two things real quick, is you may want to look into a home warranty.
Okay.
To make sure you're covered if anything happens. Okay. To the property. And the other thing would be make good contacts with contractors in case something happens. You have someone that you know and trust can run out to the property.
Right.
The other day I was on Angie's List. I got a letter from my one of the condo associations saying they wanted the dryer vent clean. So I had to go on Angie's List and find somebody to do that. I didn't know anybody that did it. So
yeah.
Try to know good contractors so you don't get
That's
ripped
good.
Off. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have a list of go-to people now that that you go to?
Yeah, I do. I try to find someone that's like a Mr. Know-It-All, that they can do anything. That's usually the best. And don't, you know, because what happens is when you get desperate, you get taken advantage
of. Sure.
So it's better to have a good contact there in case something does happen.
All right. And the number five question is, would you rent a property to your best friend?
No, not at all. Okay. I've seen, unless they gave me cash up front for a year.
Right.
I've seen friendships ruined from people that own, you know, rent. It's always like, hey, man, I'll get you next week. And then, you know, it's always an awkward call.
Right.
Calling
totally.
Somebody saying, totally. Hey, where's my money, man? You know,
totally.
Yeah, I don't recommend you do that. You know, it's just friendships can fall pretty quick.
Well, Chris, if someone wants to reach you, so you're a realtor in the Northern Virginia area.
Yep.
And you can help people find rental properties, or you can help them get into investing if that's what they want to do, right? That's one of the things.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. If you have any questions, it's Chris Colgan, RE/MAX Regency. You can go to my website, ColganRealEstate.com. It's ColGan. And we have all the properties listed, foreclosures, short sales, anything. If you have any questions about rental properties, feel free to hop on the website and ask me a question. I'd be more than happy to help you out. And I have a lot of spreadsheets and stuff like that that you can check out so you can run the numbers and make sure that it's the right thing for you.
All right. We'll have a link to Chris's website and also a summary of everything else we talked about. You can find that on the show notes page at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode8. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Dan Lane, and this is the Rental Income Podcast.